today's topic. So when you hear this Dham Dham Satya, what is coming in your mind? Huh? बनने के बाद ही आ जाता है कि राम नाम सत्य है. सो व्हाट डू वी कनेक्ट राम नाम सत्य है टू डेथ. यू माइट बी थिंकिंग व्हाई आई हैव चोजन दिस टॉपिक ऑफ डेथ फॉर यंग गर्ल्स. इनफैक्ट आई वाज हियरिंग अ क्लास बाय योगेन लाला स्वामी महाराज एंड ही वाज मेंशनिंग दैट सो मेनी टाइम्स यू नो we give different examples in our life. We come across so many different examples which where there is an indication about death and we want to avoid it. Right? We want to avoid it. We don't even want to think about it. When we hear about your friend, your near and dear one, somebody dying or even a thought of dying, we don't want to think about it because it is very, very scary. Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know how to do Yudhishthira? Yudhishthira was one of the greatest Pandavas. And Yudhishthira Maharaj speaks about a very, very divine truth. Once when he was called, all the five Pandavas were called by Yaksha. And Yaksha was asking different questions to Yudhishthira. And if you answer this question, then only I will bring you your full brother. And one of the questions was that what is the most amazing thing in the world? It is very, very amazing. And this is not said that actually every day you see that, you know, somebody is dying, sometimes neighbors are dying, sometimes some relative is dying, sometimes you hear in the newspaper there was a plane crash, or there is a terrorist attack, people are dying, different places people are dying. We think others are dying and we feel bad also about others dying. But the most amazing thing is we never think that the death will come to us. Few years back there was a serious case in US where a cancer patient was going to die and he was supposed to live only for 1 year. So they made a serious that every day how did he spend that the day, you know, of the 65 days when he knows that he is going to die? And the serious thing is such a hit because every show, every week they showed that, he went to this different place, there was a beach, there was a new girlfriend, and how he enjoyed, he ate whatever he wanted. Like that, every week they showed how he was enjoying in different places, with different women, different things. And serious became very, very popular. What happens when serial becomes very popular? They have to extend. So what they have to do here? They have to extend the life of that patient. But does this happen in reality? Madam Shekhar is here, who is ex-dean of PM Hospital. And also Madam Bharati is here, who is head of the entire hospital. And they can say that how many times in the hospital the relatives are crying, doctor, please do anything but just extend few minutes more. Let my patient live for one more year. Take away all my money, all my wealth. But can doctors extend? Have you heard about Walt Disney? You have seen Walt Disney movie? There is a sad story about Walt Disney. Walt Disney, when he was about to die, he called the biggest and most intelligent scientist and he told them that I am giving all my money to you and you should do research on what? Research on how to revive a dead person. And you, after my death, you should preserve my body with all the chemicals. And then whenever you find out the solution that how a dead body can be revived, put their solution and it should make me again a living person. And then he died. And this scientist was doing research. And he had made so much money that all the money was used for all this work. So what happened? All the relatives of Walt Disney who were supposed to get that money, they paid a huge amount to the scientists, they said to stop the research. We don't want you to remain, we don't want you to revive. You should remain there, okay? And we stop the research. So does it ever happen? Has any dead person become alive again after so many years? It's not possible. Alexander the Great, all of you have read about in the history the name of Alexander. And when Alexander, he died, he had his last desire. What was his last desire? They meant to take me in a coffin. My head should be out of the coffin. And who should carry me? Four physicians should carry me. My doctor should carry me. What message he wanted to give? That he keeps his hand empty. Empty handed I have come. Empty handed I will go. I'm going back empty handed. I cannot say anything with me. And even though I was the most powerful, most successful man, the greatest physicians on the planet Earth could not keep me alive. I can tell you, once I was here in the class, and the speaker told that I am an extrovert and I am predicting that all of us will die in 7 days. And I was thinking, why did I come to this class? Telling me that I am going to die in 7 days. Yes, yes, all of you are going to die in 7 days. I was very shocked. And after some time, I said, yes, either you will die on a Monday, or a Tuesday, or a Wednesday, or a Thursday, or a Friday, or a Saturday, or a Sunday. Which day, which year, we don't know. But any of the 7 days, any one of us will die. We use the word as sure as death. Because death is very, very certain. I remember in Cooper Hospital, my first medical emergency secretary in the year. And we had a patient in the afternoon of a snake bite. Cooper Hospital in Parla, so a villager was born with a snake bite. And then we were, you know, our housemen and our speaker seniors, they were trying to treat me. To treat a snake bite, you have to give antivenom. And what is the antivenom? It is the something which will actually, whatever poison has gone inside, counteract. Before giving the antivenom, what you have to do is, you have to give a test dose. So when you give a test dose of antivenom, if the patient survives, after that, there is no reaction, then you can give more antivenom. So we gave a test dose, and the patient was okay, he was very peaceful, happy, laughing. So then we started a main injection of antivenom. And my seniors went to the canteen, it was the afternoon time, so I was working, and I was a junior, so I was told that he sits here, and if any emergency, you give us a call. That time there are no mobiles. So just give a call on the canteen and just inform us. And after some time, I was observing that this particular patient started gasping for air. Became very breathless. And I went there and I was taking his pulse this time to see what is his blood pressure, what is his pulse. And in my hand, when I was seeing the pulse, slowly, slowly the pulse became zero. And my warm hand became cold. And as soon as I called my seniors and I called them, they came and they were very shocked. You know why the, what was the reason of the death? The person had not died because of the snake bite. But he died because of the reaction to anaphylactic shock because of antivenom. Which occurred much after what was written on the antivenom. That is, that's only for half an hour, it happened after some time. So we can see that death can come at any time, it can happen to anyone. Srila Prabhupada tells them slowly that there was a man who was very scared of death. He never wanted to die. So somebody told him that if you apply too long over your body, now the Yamra is a Brahman and he will not come closer to you. So every day he started applying stool over his body, then he became old, thinking that Yamraj will not come. And guess what happened? Sin died. Because death can come at any moment and it will come as soon as your time is over, it is time to go. In last 1 week, India has experienced death of one of our ex-presidents of India. And all of us are understanding Dr. Kalam, who was such a noble soul, who was so brave. And for 7 days actually we are mourning. And when he died, the entire country was crying. We were feeling that we have actually lost a very, very noble person, a well-wisher who was so good. And in last 2-3 days somebody else also died. And all the emails, WhatsApp messages and newspapers are full of that person's death. Right? And there is so much controversy on that death also. So what is the history of death? When I was in my first 7 days in Anatomy Hall, and there are so many dead bodies lying in the Anatomy Hall, and we are supposed to dissect as a medical student. And when I was dissecting, many times the thought came in my mind, is this what happens after death? Is there a life after death? It was always a very, very interesting or I was very curious about this topic. Recently I'm doing some research on the near-death experiences, and I realized that death, according to modern scientific methods, methodology, there are many little researches on the near death or death. What is their understanding? And what is the understanding which is based on the ancient Vedic scriptures? Modern scientific world, what do they think about death? So I came across this research which is on near death experiences. What is near death experience? A person whose heart has stopped working, even brain has little bit working because there is still oxygen in the brain, so at the other time oxygen is not completely utilized, the brain will still keep on functioning. So many times during that period a patient is declared dead, and then maybe in 2 minutes he again regains his consciousness. And all these patients, they were interviewed and they were asked, what happens during that period that you were almost declared dead? And these are called near-death experiences. Recently there is a very famous book published by one neurosurgeon. His name is Dr. Evan Alexander. The name of the book is The Proof of Heaven. This particular neurosurgeon, he had visited Israel for some conference, and then he came back in America, and suddenly he had very, very severe back pain. So he decided that he will lie down in a warm water bathtub and he will feel better. But instead of feeling better, what happened is back pain increased. So he came back and he was lying down. He came back and he lied down on his bed. So when he was lying down, started getting convulsions, epilepsy, started getting fits. And his fits became so strong that it went on for 2 hours. By the time his wife came, took him back to the hospital, they put him to the casualty. And in the casualty, the doctors came, and the first thing they did was the lumbar puncture. They removed a fluid from his brain. And that fluid, normally it is crystal clear, watery. Instead of that, that fluid was full of pus. So when they saw this, so oh my god, this is pus. So our doctor, Evan Alexander, also realized that I have got infection of my brain. He was losing his consciousness, so he immediately started speaking, said, God is saving, God is saving. That the last word he spoke, and he became unconscious. They immediately put him onto the ventilator, and everything was, they were trying to treat him with the medicines, antibiotics, and all the reports were coming that he is not responding to any medicine. For 7 days he was in coma, and then they said that for some more time if he remains in coma one more day, then we will put him off the machine and then he will die a natural cause of death. So his relatives are praying, said, no, we cannot allow our patient to die. So his son was a medical student, he was praying, his wife was praying, his sister was praying, his younger son, all of them are sitting and praying there. And when they were about taking off the machine, he opened his eyes. Everyone great surprise, he opened his eyes and he started talking. He said, as soon as I said, God will save me, so I came out of my body. I saw actually my body lying down. And the first thing I started thinking is that so many times in hospital, in an operation theater, I have declared a patient dead when the brain stopped functioning. And today I am seeing that I am still alive. That means somebody higher than the brain controls the body. And what is that? That is the consciousness. And then he describes that suddenly he saw the darkness, some different looking people, and then an angel came and took him to a higher place. He was flying with the engine for a place and he was seeing there were cows were grazing, nice fields, there were people who were talking in different language, speaking different things, wearing different types of clothes, eating different type of food. He said, I want to be here. This is the place I want to be. But the angel said, you cannot stay here. You have to perform lot of good activities to come here. Now it is the time to go back. He said, no, I don't want to go back. He said, no, you have to go back. And when he was coming back, he could hear the sound of the prayers made by all the family members. And then he entered the body. And he says that I am a neurosurgeon who did not believe so much in God, never believed in a life after death also. But after this experience, my life has completely changed. I visit temple of God very frequently. I go to church and I have become more and more believer of God. So this research, another research which was done on near-death experiences, and where around data was collected from almost 1,000 patients, 1,000 plus patients. And there was a typical pattern of reaction. What happened, the way they described their near-death experience. And what do they say is, that whenever near death, as I explained to you, near death means a person who is declared dead because the heart has stopped functioning. And then suddenly, they say that many of these patients, that our entire this experience was very, very crystal clear. And this experience is very, very real. Many of the doctors whom they they showed this experience, the doctors were saying that the patients, when they were describing this experience, it was actually real. What they were saying, that experience is so real that even after so many years, we feel that it has happened just now. And we felt that was real, that was permanent, and what we are living, our life, is actually unreal and temporary. So that's the first thing, that the consciousness is very, very clear. The second part of that is that most of them, they say that I came out of my body. That I came out of my body. One patient was saying that I heard that two people were talking about me and I told them I'm here. You're talking about me. But they could not listen. They could not hear me. And then I saw that they were talking about my body. One Chinese man was telling that I met with an accident and I died on the spot. And my girlfriend, my sister, my mother, they are crying and my girlfriend is trying to beat my heart, trying to slap on my heart. And she's crying and my sister is saying, he is gone forever. He's saying, I am telling my girlfriend, no, I am here. I am here, I am still alive. But he said, she could not hear me. Another patient was telling that I was hearing that, these people are talking about somebody and I heard my name.
So I wanted to tell them that I am here, you know. And then suddenly I saw that they were talking about another person. And I came and closer to that person, and actually I realized that was my body. So second thing is, in the real experience, they see, they come out of their body. And out-of-body experience is very, very strong. One cardiologist was telling that one of the patient, when they do this open heart surgeries, at that time the entire, there's a machine, you know, when they're working on the heart, the entire body is working on a machine which is outside. So he was telling that this patient remains unconscious for almost 2 days. And when he becomes conscious, the patient was exactly describing when the surgery was happening, where I was standing, where the anesthetist was standing, what we were talking. I say not only about that room, in another room, you know, my personal room, where whenever I am operating and some people call up, then the nurse actually writes down the message and she sticks on the computer. You know, first message, second message, third message. He told me about all the messages which was written in that room. That means he's saying it is not possible. He was lying in the operation theater. How can he see what is happening in that room? That means definitely he came out of his body and he was moving around. The next thing they describe is out of body experience. They say that the entire life goes like a flashback, like a rewinding tape. Most of these patients say, we saw our life right from childhood till now like a rewinding tape. And whenever we give pain to others, it stops for a few seconds, we experience the pain. Whenever we give pleasure to others, we felt the happiness. So you came out of the body and then you are seeing your entire life like a flashback, like a movie. The entire tape is rewinded. And you can see exactly whatever has happened. And whenever you give pain to others, you experience the pain. Many of the patients, they describe this. And after that, they say that next thing we saw, we went through a tunnel. And we are waiting, we are going very fast through that tunnel. And the other end of the tunnel, there is light. And what is that light? That light is very, very beautiful. We feel it is full of love, full of supreme power, compassion, and that light was actually covering us, you know, wrapping us, and we didn't want to, we felt that this is at home. I always want to be here. I don't want to leave this place because this light is so good. And the next thing they hear is, go back. This is not the time you can be here. And many of these patients argue with that sound. No, but we want to be here. We have found this so divine. One patient, she was in cesarean section when she underwent this near-death experience. So the light was telling, you have a newborn child down. No, you should go back. He said, no, but what I was looking for throughout my life is I am getting here. Why should I go back? He said, no, but you have to go back. And as soon as they accept that they have to go back, said they enter their body. And one of the patients was saying that I was feeling that I am so big, I am so full of knowledge. How can I enter this tiny body now? He was not realizing when he came out of the body, but when he was out of the body, he was looking at the body and feeling, how can I enter this body? Saying, but somehow the thuck, a noise, and you enter the body. Most of the patient, the most amazing part of near-death experiences is, they say our life has completely changed after this experience. We do not have any fear of death. Fear of death has completely gone. And because that experience of giving pain to, whenever you have given pain to others, you experience that pain, is that our relationship with the husband, wife, children, parents completely change, because you don't want to give any more pain to anybody. Some patients feel that because God has given me this extension, I want to serve God, I want to help others. Some of the patients feel that because I am a tiny spark who is part of that light, so I want to go back to that place. So now I want to find out how can I go back to that place. How can I go back to that light? Some of the patients, they start talking about yoga, meditation, astrology. One American patient said, I have to go to India now to find out what should I do now. And one of the patients was saying that actually I realize that I am a small spark of that big light and I have to be connected to that light. So all the spiritual practices we do is actually to awaken that small spark. So I must perform lot of spiritual activities and I should become very, very conscious of my surrounding. So this is what a modern scientific research about near-death experiences talks about, what happens after death. So what is the conclusion of this research? That there is something higher than brain which controls the body. And what is that thing? That is the consciousness. And they also say there is a presence of soul. Because soul who is coming out of the body and experiencing things. Also this research proves that your every action has a reaction. If you perform good actions, there are good reactions. If you perform bad action, there are bad reactions. Now let us understand, what does our ancient Vedic scriptures, they talk about death. In Bhagavad Gita, there are so many shlokas which explains about who are we. Most of the time when we talk about who are we, what do we say? I am Sonal, I am Sheetal, I am Meena, I am Tina. But are we actually these people? Or we are residing somebody in this body? What do we say? I hand or my hand? My hand. I head or my head? I body or my body? My body. So whose body is this? There is a soul residing in this body and this body belongs to that soul. We have, Prabhupada gives a very famous example of car and driver. What is the famous example of car and driver? That as a car has four wheels to run, we have two legs to run. Car has horn, we have a mouth to speak. Car has front light, we have eyes to see. But unless and until somebody sits in the driver's seat of that car, the car cannot function. Similarly, our body cannot function till the time there is presence of soul. Many times when we say that a person is dead, in Gujarati we say Gujri gaya, Chali gaya, Varle. Who has gone? The body is right in front of you. Somebody who was giving life to that body has gone. So Bhagavad Gita says, Dehino smin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhiras tatra namuyati. If you put your pictures right from childhood till now, do you look same? You look different in every picture, no? Right? But still, what do we say? This is my picture. So body keeps on changing, but the soul doesn't change. Similarly, at the time of death, the body can change to another body, but soul remains same. And that is why many of us, even though we have not died in this life, we feel scared of death. Do you feel sometimes scared of heights? Somebody sometimes feels scared of water? Somebody feels scared of fire? Why? Have you fallen down from a very height, great height? Have you drowned in water? Still, why do you feel scared? Because the mind has already captured the memories of previous lives. In the previous lives, how the way you have died, those memories are still there in the subtle mind, in subtle body. And that is why we feel scared even in this life. Bhagavad Gita also says, where does the soul reside? The soul resides in the region of heart. And that's why many times when the patients have cardiac arrest or the open heart surgery, these are the patients actually who experience near death or out of body experiences. What is the size of the soul? 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. So very, very tiny. And a tiny ant or a big elephant, the size of the soul remains same. It doesn't change. And does each one of us have a soul? Yes, and each one of us have a different soul. So Bhagavad Gita explains this in great detail to us. The nature of the soul is Sat Chit Ananda, always blissful, full of knowledge and eternal. Krishna also tells in Bhagavad Gita, Yam Yam Vapi Smarana Bhava, whatever you think at the time of death, that will be your next destination. And Krishna also says, Antakale cha mameva smarana muktva kalevaram. If you think of me at the time of death, you will come back to me. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvata tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti su Arjuna. That one who understands my appearances and my leela, the reason of my appearance and my leela, he doesn't have to come back again in this world. So our scriptures tell us that this body is special because there is presence of soul and there is presence of something else besides soul, that is Paramatma. Anybody, however beautiful the body is, however famous the person is, however great the scientist, whether Einstein, Newton, or whoever it is, greatest personality in this planet, as soon as they die, as soon as that spark leaves the body, what do we do? Either bury or burn. Till the time that spark is there, that life is very important, that personality is very important. Personality is very important. But as soon as that spark is gone, that same body is of no use. So it is presence of the soul and presence of Krishna as Paramatma in that body which makes that body very, very special. There's a story in Mahabharata that after the battlefield of Kurukshetra was over, Krishna asked Arjuna. Krishna was driving the chariot of Arjuna. So Krishna told Arjuna, please get down. So Arjuna said, no, my lord, you get down first. He said, no, you get down. So like an obedient servant, Arjuna got down. And then Krishna got down. And as soon as Krishna got down, the entire chariot collapsed and became into powder. And Arjuna was shocked. He said, my God, how did this happen? And Krishna said, because I was present during the war on this chariot, so many arrows had attacked. But because of my presence, nothing happened to this chariot, nothing happened to you. But as soon as I got down off the chariot, this chariot has collapsed. So till the time the presence of soul and the presence of Krishna is there, this body has any meaning. How much time we spend over this body? Nail art, hairstyles, different shampoos, different makeups, so many things. How many hours and hours we spend over this body? But as soon as the person is dead, even the closest relative says after 6 hours, let us take the body out. And you know, when they burn, the first thing which burns is the hair. How many amount of shampoos and oils and conditioner we have spent over that hair, but everything vanishes so fast. It is, this body is actually gift of God. It should be used in the service of God. But if you use it only for the purpose of just decorating the body and not, you know, using it for the purpose which it is given, then you will understand at the time of death that you have wasted your time. There is another story. There was a king who had 4 queens. His first queen was very, very chaste, very, very nice, but the king would not spend time with her. He did not like her so much. His second queen was very dear to him. So he would spend so much time with her all the time, giving her different gifts, nice clothes, nice makeup, nice jewelry. Then the third queen, she was very wise. So whenever he needed any advice, he would take from that queen. And the fourth queen, she came from a very big family. So whenever king had to go to different functions, to different royal kingdoms, he would take her with. So when the time of death came, the king asked, which of my queen will come with me? So he did not like the number one queen, so he didn't even ask her. So he asked the number two queen. He said, I have always given you so many gifts, will you come with me? He said, no, I will not come. Then he asked the third number queen, will you come? He said, I can come till some distance. And then he asked the fourth queen, saying, I will come, as soon as you die, I will get married to somebody else. He was shocked. And then he heard a small voice, I will come with you, queen. I will come with you, king. And whose voice was that? That was the first queen. And the first queen, and he was shocked. She was so thin. She had no beauty, no capacity to even walk. He said, no, but I will come with you. So what does this story tell us? That who is the number two queen? It is our body. We give so many gifts to this body. Nice clothes, nice perfumes, makeup, jewelry. We spend hours and hours and hours on this body. But at the time of death, she will come with us? No, she won't come with us. Then the next is your friends and relatives. Will they come with you? They give you nice advice. They are very happy in your happy times, sad in your sad times. But they can only come till the crematorium. They cannot come. Who is the fourth queen who will get married to somebody else? Your wealth. As soon as you die, the wealth goes to the person who inherits the wealth. And who is the first queen? The first queen is actually the devotional service or whatever spiritual activities which we have done. That is the only thing which we can come with us. Everything else will stay back. Nothing can come with us. Only spiritual activities can come with us. All the devotional services, all the services to God which we have performed through this body, only that can come with us. Scriptures also explain, and there is a very famous story of Buddha, that one mother, when her son died, she came to Buddha and she said that, please, make my son alive. So Lord Buddha told her that you get me mustard seeds from any house where death has not occurred. And she said, yes, I will get immediate. As soon as you get that mustard seed, I will get your boy alive. And she started going from house to house finding, is there any house where death has never occurred? Could she find the mustard seeds? No. She came back and she said that there is not a single house where death has not occurred. So death can occur, and always occur, unknowingly, knowingly, giving, without coming, giving any information, but it will definitely happen. Also, there was a very famous story. There was a parrot who was very scared of death. So he heard from Yamraj that very soon he is going to die. So parrot decided that I will go so far away. He crossed 7 oceans, 7 mountains, and far off place in a mountain, in a small cave, he went inside and he started hiding himself. But then when he went there, what did he see? Yamraj standing there. And Yamraj was smiling. She said, why are you smiling? He said, no, when I told you that your death is going to be very soon, I was thinking that you are going to die so far. How will you reach to this place? And your destiny was that you will die crossing 7 oceans, 7 mountains in this particular cave. And I was thinking, I have met you somewhere else. How will you die here? See, whatever you do to avoid death, you cannot avoid. In medical world, few years back, there was tuberculosis. And there was no cure for tuberculosis. Then finally they found cure for tuberculosis. The next disease was cancer. Somehow they got control over cancer. The next disease was AIDS. So newer and newer diseases keep on coming. Nobody can avoid death. But when a person who has spent his entire life talking about God, thinking about God. When death comes for that person, it is like Krishna or God himself has come in the form of death. But a person who has spent the time without thinking about God, he is very, very scared of death. Because when death comes, he doesn't know what will happen at the time of death. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Bhuktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that I am the well-wisher of everyone and I am the most dear friend to everyone. Now when do you need the friend most? When you are in the greatest need? Right? When you have the greatest need, you need your friend, no? That my friend should come and help. Is there anything greater need than at the time of death? Death is the time when you need somebody's help. And Krishna says, I am your friend. If you remember me, I will come and I will protect you. If you remember me, I can actually protect your soul. Or I can, if I like, I can protect your body also. I know one of our devotee, Priyabandhu Prabhu. Few years back, there was a bomb blast in the year 2006 and he was in a train. He entered from Grant Road and then he sat in one of the compartments, in the first class compartment. He went on a corner seat and then he was sitting and chanting. He removed his beads and he was chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And as usual, devotees, you know, when they chant, what happens? Sometimes they go to sleep. So he went to sleep. And the next thing he remembers, a big blast. And when he opened his eyes, almost all his clothes had, there were no clothes on his body, only his banyan and few others, and everything was torn. And all the people who were sitting next to him were all dead except him. He had his beads in his hands. His bead bag was also flown away. Because in the same place where he was sitting, the other side of the compartment, there was a bomb and there was a bomb blast. So in his case, actually Krishna protected his body. But what Krishna protects? Krishna protects our consciousness. Krishna releases from the illusion that we are this body, and Krishna gives us that eternal body with which we can enjoy with Krishna in the spiritual world permanently. That is what is Krishna promising us, that the time of death, if you have taken shelter of me, I will come and I will actually give you your eternal body. There is another very nice story from the scriptures, where only one place where somebody could come back from the clutches of Yamaraj. That is Hiranyakashipu, Ravan. Ravan did so much tapasya and asked for different benediction. I should not die of a demigod. I should not die by this weapon. But he thought monkeys and human beings are, you know, too inferior to even ask for. And then Lord Ram appeared and Hanumanji appeared and destroyed Ravan. And Hiranyakashipu made so many conditions. I should not die here. I should not die there. I should not die like this. Not in the day, not in the night, not by a weapon, not by a human being, not by an animal. He made so many conditions, but Krishna still came in the form of Narsingadev and killed him. But in this particular story, which is very, very applicable to all the young girls, somebody actually died, but because of her power, he came back. And it's a story of Satyavan and Savitri. Savitri was a princess, and Satyavan was a prince who actually lost everything. And Savitri wanted to marry only Satyavan. So when the marriage was fixed, it was told that very soon Satyavan will die. So her parents told her that, please don't get married. She said, no, I want to marry him only. And then she knew the exact date when he was going to die. So she went with him in the forest. And suddenly he was bitten by a snake and he died. And Yamaraj was taking the soul of her husband away. And Savitri started following Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, you cannot come behind me. You know, I am taking the soul of your husband away. And she was very gentle. She was very pure because she was very chaste. Now we must understand, for a woman, her chastity is very, very important. When we are chaste, we have purity, that purity actually gives us power. In case of men, when they practice brahmacharya, they get a lot of spiritual strength. But in case of girls and women, when they are more pure and more chaste, that's the time they get a lot of spiritual strength. So Savitri had a lot of spiritual power. That's how she could see Yamraj. And finally Yamraj was very pleased. So she said, I cannot give you your husband back, but ask any benediction. So what benediction she asked? Then let me have 100 sons and stay in a palace of my husband's palace. And he said, Tathastu. And then he was going away. He said, how can I have 100 sons without my husband? You have to give my husband back. This is one time when a chaste woman got her husband back. We are not saying that you become chaste to get something like this, but purity is very, very important for girls. Also Krishna and Balram, they themselves got Sandipani Muni's children. When Sandipani Muni was their guru, and Sandipani Muni asked in Guru Dakshina that please get he had few sons who were dead, saying please get them back. And Krishna and Balram could got them back. Srimad Bhagavatam explains two very beautiful pastimes. One is in 6th canto and one is the 1st canto. 1st canto is about Parikshit Maharaj. Who was Parikshit? Parikshit was actually son of Abhimanyu and Uttara. And Abhimanyu was son of Arjun and Subhadra. So Abhimanyu was nephew of Krishna. So when Parikshit, he became the king after Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas left. He was ruling all over the world and he was very powerful. And one day when he went in the forest, he became very thirsty. So he went into the ashram of one rishi and the rishi was sitting in meditation. So he asked for water, but the rishi could not give water. It was in deep meditation. Somehow or other, for a spur of a moment, he became angry. And there was a dead snake which he put around the rishi. And when he was leaving, he was feeling very bad. That, why did I do this? And I am very soon going to get the reaction for this. And the son of the rishi, Sringi, was playing somewhere. And as soon as he heard that my father has got this dead snake, immediately took water. And he cursed the king. What was the curse? That you will die in 7 days because of a bite of a takshaka snake. You put a snake around my father, now you die because of a bite of a takshaka. And as soon as Parikshit Maharaj realized this, that he is going to die, what did he do? He started seeing his bank balance. Started deciding what will go to whom? No. He immediately went on the bank of Ganga. And all the sages from all over the planet came. All wanted to help him. And Shukadev Goswami was chosen. And Parikshit Maharaj asked very, very important 3 questions. What was the first question? What is the supreme occupation of human beings? What is the essence of all religions? And third and the most important and relevant question, what is the duty of a man who is about to die? Sorry. And in reply to these 3 questions, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. 18,000 shlokas were spoken. And what was the conclusion? The duty of a man who is about to die should hear, chant and remember about Krishna. What do we do? Hear, remember and chant about Krishna. In Bhaktivedanta Hospital also, any patient, whenever they are dying, we have a protocol where there are people who are chanting for him. Somebody is putting Ganga Jal, somebody is putting Tulsi, somebody is reading from Bhagavad Gita, and we engage all the relatives in doing all these activities. Because we know that the time of death, if anybody remembers Krishna, Krishna makes his journey to the next life very, very easy. And the second pastime is in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is about Ajamil. Ajamil was a great Brahmana. In his young age, he was very, very pious. He would always serve his parents. He would go to the forest, get nice fruits and flowers and wood for the puja of the deities. So one day when he went to the forest, he saw a chandala and a prostitute. in a very awkward position. And when he saw that, it stuck in his mind. So when he came back home, he had his wife, but he was still thinking of that prostitute. So Sri Radha Gopinath ki. He was still thinking about that prostitute. And after, when you keep on thinking about something, what happens? You get attracted. Right? How do you get attracted to something? By constantly thinking about that object. So he became so attracted to her that after a few days he got her in the house. His parents left, his wife left, and to keep a prostitute you have to give a lot of money. So he sold off all his property and he was very attached to her. Because he wanted to keep her, he started doing robbery. He became a robber. From a Brahmana he became a robber, murderer. He completely changed. He had many children. At the age of 80 he had a son. Somehow or other, of his good activities, he named his son Narayan. And when the time of his death came, he could see Yamdutas coming to take him away. So when he saw Yamdutas, he got very scared. So when he got very scared, he saw his 2-year-old Narayan playing there. So they are shouting, "Narayan, Narayan!" And Yamdutas were trying to take his soul away. But as soon as he spoke Narayan, Vishnudutas appeared. And Vishnudutas told him, "Stop." He stopped the Yamdutas. "Now you cannot touch him. Now he is our property." Why? Because at the time of death, unknowingly also, he did not chant Narayan's name. He was chanting name of his son. But unknowingly also, he chanted the name of Narayan. So when Yamdutas went to Yamraj, and they said, "Are, we are very surprised. We thought you are the supreme most authority in this world. Somebody is checking us, somebody is stopping us. They are not allowing us to fulfill your order." And at that time, Yamraj explains that whoever takes the name of Lord Ram, Vishnu, Krishna, Narayan, the time of death, you cannot touch them. So Krishna's name is very, very powerful. And that is why that when somebody is dying or somebody is dead, what do we say? Rama Nama Satya. Because the name of Ram is very, very powerful. If you take the name of Lord Ram at the time of death, if you remember Krishna at the time of death, Krishna promises that I will come as your dear friend and I will take you back home, back to Godhead. So we must remember, two things we must always remember. That death will come, and death is very, very sure. But most important than death is, we must chant the holy names of the Lord at the time of death. Now many times people say, "Yes, yes, I will do throughout my life whatever I want, and at the time of death I will chant name of Ram and Narayan." Does it happen? No. So many times in the hospital we are trying to tell the patients, "Please chant, ek cigarette de do, ek bidi de do, I want to do this, biryani, biryani, my last desire is biryani." Why? They don't want to take names of God. Because what is important is what you do throughout your life will actually come to help at the time of death. Radhanath Maharaj explains very nicely. How many of you appear for exams? So many of you, right? So at the time of exam, only on the day of exam you start preparing? You prepare much before, much advance, right? You study, you read books, you join classes, you take some tuitions. And then you are working very, very hard. And then your results come. Similarly, life is preparation and death is the final exam. At the time of death, whatever preparation you have done, that is only one answer at that time. You have to chant. You have to chant the names of Lord Krishna. And if you don't chant, again you have to come back. Again you have to study the same exam, same paper. Same things. So what is more important is the time which you have now. In this time, you should associate with people who are spiritually minded so that you become more spiritual. Most of the time, if I ask you that what are the things which you can never live without, what will be the list? My mobile, internet, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. List will be very big, no? Right? And we always want more and more and more. I want more. And we think happiness is directly proportionate to things which I possess. The number of dresses I possess, or number of pictures, Facebook, how many people are following me. Happiness is directly proportionate to my mobile which I have, which is the latest model. Happiness is not directly proportionate to that. Happiness is actually very, very deep, right within our heart. I would just end with a short story. There was a person, his father was very, very rich. So when his father died, like as we saw in the story of Kanjus Karodimal, when his father died, he wanted to find out where my father has put all the wealth. So his father had told that I have hidden all the wealth and you must find out where is the wealth. So he started searching for that wealth. He thought in this bank, in this place, in that place. He kept on searching and his life went on and on like that. And one day he also died. So when he died, they brought him to his ancestral house and they were digging the ground there to bury him. And when they were digging the ground, they found the wealth. So where was the wealth? Wealth was in his own house. And he was searching for it at so many other places. Similarly, dear friends, the spiritual wealth is right within us, within our heart. Krishna is sitting as Paramatma within our heart. And he is such a friend that whether you are in a body of an ant, animal, plant or a human being, he keeps on coming with you every time. For what? To remind. Please come back to me. Please come back to me. Mundaka Upanishad explains that there are two birds sitting on the same tree. One bird is busy eating different fruits and sometime he gets the sweet fruits, then he thinks the next fruit also will be sweet. So keep on trying different fruits. But sometime it is bitter, sometime it is sour, in between it is sweet. So keeps on trying. And what is the other bird doing? Just waiting and watching this bird. That what is this bird doing? And what is he waiting for? When will this bird turn and look at me? So Krishna is always waiting in your heart. And today is very happy that all of you have come to temple and you are hearing about him. And maybe you are trying to look towards him. So if we see, there is a birth date and there is a death date. And in between there is a dash. So what is important is, how do you master that dash? How do you live your life in such a way that the time of death, you can remember Krishna. Because the only truth is the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is the only truth, because you can access God through His name. Key to the mystery of death is in the holy name. When you chant the holy name, you can cross across all the oceans of birth and death. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Is there any question? Do you have any question? Did you get scared? Yeah. So we will have now, we will spend our time chanting the names of Krishna. And I want all of you to dance very nicely. And all of you like to dance? So we will dance and we will pray very nicely to Radha Gopinath that somehow or other, please, at the time of death, come and remember, we can remember him, and seeing his beautiful form, we can leave our bodies. Hare Krishna.